Today we're in the book of Philemon, beginning in verse 17, and we will read and study through verse 25. The book of Philemon, let's pick up today in verse 17. While Paul was a prisoner of Rome, he talked to many people. He talked to rulers and guards, other prisoners and visitors. And one of those was a runaway slave named Onesimus. This man had run off from his master, who happened to be a Christian named Philemon. Paul knew this man. And it's possible that since he knew Philemon, he may have known about Onesimus, his servant. And it's also possible that Onesimus knew about Paul even before he ran away. We really don't know. But at any rate, he and Paul were together long enough for Paul to teach him the gospel while he was in prison, and long enough for Onesimus to be baptized. And this man Onesimus stayed with Paul long enough for Paul to be convinced that he was sincere. This man helped Paul while he was a prisoner, and Paul believed that he was a genuine man. Now, Paul could have used his help even longer, but he decided to tell Onesimus to go back to his master and make things right. So Paul sent this very tactful, respectful letter to Philemon, urging him to take back Onesimus. And in the verses that we'll look at today, we find Paul going to extra lengths to work out this relationship. He was willing to go the second mile. So let's begin in verse 17. This is where Paul said, "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him," that is, receive Onesimus, "as myself." Now notice Paul's tone again in this letter. He doesn't say, "I'm an apostle, so you do what I tell you," or "I'm above you in the church." Instead, he says, "If," and notice that he doesn't say, "Now because I am," but "if you count," that is, "if you consider me a partner." Now notice again what he's saying. He doesn't say, "If you believe that I am a chosen apostle, then you'll listen to me." He doesn't do that. He said, "If you consider me a partner," and so Paul is putting himself on an equal level with him here, a partner, a fellow servant, a worker just like I am, "then you take back your servant Onesimus." So Paul could have called attention to the fact that he was an apostle here, but he doesn't do that. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even mention the fact that he is an apostle in this book. He oftentimes does that as he's writing to churches, but here he's appealing on a different level to this man Onesimus. Now, there's no doubt that Philemon felt this way about Paul, that is, that he considered him to be a wise and true apostle of Christ. But Paul is appealing to his good nature here. And this is a great study in how people think and how to deal with people in the best possible way. So Paul says, "Receive him," that is, "receive Onesimus, as myself." As if it were me. As if I were coming to you instead of Onesimus. Treat him like you would treat me. It's obvious that Onesimus has repented. But Philemon, at this time, hasn't seen this. So Paul writes to assure him. There had been a wall separating these two men, Philemon and Onesimus. But Paul is building a bridge, and he's making peace here. But what else was Paul willing to do? Well, we find the answer to that question in verses 18 and 19. And this is where Paul is really going the second mile. In verse 18, Paul says, "If he," that is, "if Onesimus, has wronged you, or owes you aught," if he owes you anything, "put that on mine account." Now notice that Paul says, "if he has done this." Paul doesn't come right out and accuse Onesimus. He doesn't say, "Onesimus did you wrong," or "Onesimus owes you something," but he says, "If he does owe you something, if he has done you wrong, then I'll take care of that." He says, "if he has wronged you." Perhaps if he has done something wrong to you, Philemon, if he has offended your family, if he has damaged your property, or if he has stolen something, perhaps. Servants were warned not to steal, for instance, in Titus chapter 3, verse 10. So sometimes that was a problem. But he says, even if he owes you anything, either in lost work time, in money that he's borrowed, in something that he took with him when he ran off, at any rate, Paul's request is, you put that down on my bill. Paul does not say, if Onesimus has done you wrong or owes you anything, then you make him pay every bit. Or you punish him for what he did. Or you make sure that you take him before the court. Instead, Paul steps in and says, if he's done you wrong or owes you anything, you put that on my account. You bill me for that, and I will pay it. Now notice in verse 19 what Paul says. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. And Philemon knew that Paul meant it. Philemon knew that if Paul said that he would pay something, then he certainly would do it. But Paul, to make this even more emphatic, says, I've put this in my own handwriting. I'll pay what he owes. It's been a long-standing custom to sign your name when you agree to pay for something. And Paul says, here is my signature. Here is my handwriting. He was willing to pay Onesimus' debt, if there was any. And we don't know if there was a debt. We don't know whether Philemon accepted any money Paul might have paid if there was a debt, which is doubtful because of what he's going to say in the last part of this verse. But Paul is saying, I'm ready to do it. If he owes you anything, Paul says, I will pay it. Now, Paul didn't have to say that. Paul did not have to do that. He could have left that out. He was not obligated to pay somebody else's bill or somebody else's debt. But he wanted to. He did it gladly because this man has turned his life around. He is a Christian now. And Paul wants to make this a better relationship. And so Paul is practicing what he preached in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, where he said that God loves a cheerful giver and that we're to give not grudgingly or of necessity because God loves a cheerful giver. Well, Paul is not doing this out of necessity. He's going the second mile. He's going above and beyond the call of duty, and what a great example he is. But notice what Paul says in the last part of verse 19. He says in the first part, now, if Onesimus owes you anything, I will repay it, but I want to remind you, Philemon, of something. He says, albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Paul says, Philemon, you remember what you owe to me. You owe yourself to me. Paul is not bragging. Paul is not trying to be too harsh or stern with him. He's simply reminding him to look at himself. And sometimes when we think about what other people owe us or what other people have done to us, we need to think about the fact that we need to have mercy from other people. We need to have consideration and patience. And so sometimes we need to return it. So Paul reminds Philemon of something that he owes so that he's not too hard on Onesimus. Paul says, really, Philemon, you owe yourself to me. Perhaps because of what Paul had done for him personally. Perhaps because of the fact that he was an apostle. Perhaps because the church in Philemon's area was indebted to Paul. But for whatever reason, Paul reminds him of this here. So he's saying to Philemon, before you think to yourself when you read this, well, that's right. He does owe me money and it's right that somebody pay it. Remember to look at where you would be without me spiritually. And right after Paul says this in verse 19, he again asks Philemon to grant his request. And he says these words in verse 20, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord, refresh my bowels in the Lord. Paul says, if you will do this, it will give me great joy. He says, this will thrill me. And also he says, refresh my bowels in the Lord. The word bowels there again, he's used it three times now in this book, in the King James Version. That simply means his heart. And what Paul is saying here is that if Philemon will do this, if he will take this man Onesimus back as his servant, this would really encourage and uplift Paul. And again, Paul is a prisoner. And knowing Philemon like he did, Paul had confidence in him. He calls him a brother here to show his affection and to express his closeness. And we ask the question now, as we approach verse 21, how did Paul think Philemon would react when he got this letter. Did he think that Philemon would get mad and not accept Onesimus? Or did he think that Onesimus would be received back? Did he believe that Philemon would do what he has asked? And the answer is clear. In verse 21, the Bible shows that Paul had confidence in Philemon. Here's what he says. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Now notice what Paul says here. Paul has already said that he knew Philemon was a good Christian man. He talked about that earlier in the chapter, and he said that he had heard about Philemon's faith and his love and the good works that he did. And what a great compliment he gives here in verse 21. He says, I have confidence that you will do this. Without being told that you have to do it, just by my asking you, I know that you're going to do this. Now, Paul couldn't say that about every Christian that he knew. He didn't always have confidence that they would do what they were supposed to do. And a good example of that, of course, would be the Galatians, because Paul said that he stood in doubt of them. But then Paul says something else that shows just how much confidence he had in Philemon. And this is going to connect to what he's just said about what he was willing to do to help this situation out. Paul says in verse 21, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Now, what was it that Paul said to Philemon? He urged him in this book to receive Onesimus back. Now he says toward the end of this letter that he has confidence that not only will Philemon take him back, but that he will do even more than that. He will do even better than that. And that could mean that he'll treat him better by giving him more benefits. He could have given him a better place to stay or any number of advantages. Now, there are many people that think that when Paul says in verse 21 that Philemon will do more than he said, there are many commentators that believe that that means that Philemon will set him free, that he will make him a free man instead of a servant. That's a possibility, but at least what we find here is that Philemon is a man that Paul is confident will do even more than what Paul has asked. Now, notice what Paul has said. Tie this in with what Paul said he was willing to do. Back in verses 18 and 19, we find that Paul was willing to go the second mile. Paul was willing to do above and beyond what he was required to do, because he said, I will pay his debt even though I'm not obligated to do that. Now then, he's convinced that Philemon will do the same. He believes that Philemon will do more than what he has said in this letter, that he'll go beyond just receiving Onesimus back. And that's what true Bible love and true Bible faith do. They drive us beyond just what we think we have to do. And this is the spirit of Christianity. It's not asking, what is the bare minimum that I have to do to get by? It's doing more out of love. Now, this is what good parents do with their children. This is what good neighbors do for each other. This is what faithful elders and deacons and preachers and Bible teachers do. This is what Christians do when it comes to attending, when it comes to giving, when it comes to praying, when it comes to visiting. They don't ask, what is the bare minimum that I have to do? They want to do everything they can and go above and beyond the call of duty. That was Paul's attitude, and that was the spirit that he believed was in this man Philemon. He goes on to say in verse 22, but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. He expected to be released from prison, and this is the clearest indication that we find in these four books of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Then in verse 23, he shows that Epaphras was at this time a prisoner just like he was. In verse 24, he mentions those notable men that we've mentioned before. And in verse 25, he closes by saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.